and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Arms down. Ew.
Rebecca, get in here. We have a lot of apologies to get out this morning for Mama's Memorial Day weekend.
No, what, bitch, no?
Yeah, it's like broadcast news in here this morning. It is a skosh bit humid in New York. I am, my whole... All the guys here are just like, I'm a little sweaty.
Yeah, you are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, don't put your arms up again.
That
please.
I'm a friggin' lady. That is attractive. All right, this hour, they may not be happy about this, but this hour of the Stephanie Miller Show is brought to you by Safelite Auto Glass. Windshield chipped or cracked? Call Safelite Auto Glass, 1-800-800-2727, or go to safelite.com. Okay, Rebecca, you have your work cut out for you today.
What did you do?
Could I have a tiny violin, please, for the sad, sad story of my giant loser life? As you know, much of your time is spent, Rebecca, issuing apologies for my behavior at various celebrity events.
Yeah,
people have been unwise enough to invite me to.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and then it's also spent trying to book people that I ran into and told me they would come on the show. And then when you call their people, they're like...
That's what people are for.
They just say, I just did it. I just said yes to get the drunken whore away from me, generally, is what they say, right, Rebecca?
Yes.
Okay. So, I was invited, might I say unwisely, to a Melissa Etheridge's birthday party Saturday night in Los Angeles. Right. I went with Hal Sparks.
Did you have a lovely time?
It was the best party ever. However, we know that I have kind of a high bar.
Yes.
Because, as you know, I've mistaken Rob Reiner's wife for Larry David's wife and then spilled wine on Christine Lottie. And then I pulled down a light pole on a whole crowd almost trying to pole dance. And,
yes.
You know what I mean? It's a history. There's a whole history of... So, I think this might be the most embarrassing night ever.
Okay. That's a high bar.
So, anyway, first of all, let's just start with not just how geeky it is that I did this, but that I pointed it out to Melissa Etheridge. I wore my You Rock t-shirt.
Oh, no.
Because I thought, because you know what a geek I am, and I thought that would be cool because you rock and are. And so, but not only did I do it, like a geek. I point, Melissa, I wore a You Rock. Are you ready to
game? Oh, no.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yes. Stephanie.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. It was a night. So here are the people, Rebecca, that says they say they are fans and will come on the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm writing this down.
Okay. Elizabeth Perkins, the fabulous actress from Weeds, and, she starred opposite Tom Hanks in Big, and she says she'll come in studio. However, as you guys know, and Rebecca, you know this, you've been to my house, and you know that I don't so much dance as I sort of just act slutty to music.
Yes.
Yes.
So, I don't know, we'll have to send probably a number of apologies, because I think I was acting slutty with Elizabeth Perkins' husband, Hal Sparks, he doesn't mind. But, so we'll see how that, and so guess who else was there?
Who?
Shelley Wright.
Oh.
The hot country singer that just came out. Can I just say, Hal Sparks was, kind of dirty dancing with her and her girlfriend, and I thought Jim Ward would stab Hal Sparks to death right now to be in his position. But, yeah, I think by the end of the night, Rebecca, a lot of tequila shots, which I don't even have that excuse because I don't drink tequila, but I pretty much acting slutty with everybody to music, just a big, cluster. Yeah. So I think we just to be safe, we should issue a blanket apology to anyone that I might have acted slutty with.
Did you at least break a tooth so I can feel better? So I can have a good day?
No. All my teeth are intact.
Oh.
But Shelley Wright says she will come in studio Thursday with us. She's she was fabulous, a fan of the show, I guess.
Okay.
And, but we'll see by the time you call her people.
Yeah, we'll see if her people agree with that idea.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Probably not, if history is any guide.
Absolutely.
If they've ever listened to the show, probably not.
So how often did Melissa actually talk to you? Was she kind of avoiding you? Did she have handlers?
Well, it's not like she had a choice. I was right in her face. Even I didn't wear the You Rock. Yeah, I was acting slutty with Miss Melissa Etheridge. I was acting slutty with everybody.
Fantastic.
Were there any other famous people there?
It's my thing. It's, pardon me?
Any other famous people there?
Yes, I believe I made a Friends joke to Lisa Kudrow.
Oh, no.
Because I have known her a long time. I'm like, we used to be friends. Remember?
Oh, no.
Because we did. We've known each other for...
Okay.
So, Anyway, where was I? Oh, anyway, hilarious. Just on the prospect that Shelley Wright might come in the studio, already the guy that owns the show that's trying to kill me for the insurance money says he's coming. John Fugelsang wants to come. Hilarious, Rebecca, how a woman coming out as a lesbian, who, if she's hot, it does not slow men down. In fact, it speeds them up. If they were moving toward her at, like, Chariots of Fire kind of speed... Yeah, now it's men, women, like sea life. I think a lot of the sea life in the Gulf is not, like, necessarily running away from the oil, but towards Shelley, right? Trying to, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's already going to be, like, they're all going to be sweaty on the glass here in the studio. And I don't know, who knows if she's even going to do it or not.
Is she going to bring some chicks in and make out for all
of us? Oh, are you kidding? I won't be able to keep them. I mean, seriously. Every guy I know just said, like, oh, can I call?
Yeah, everybody wants
to. Not Howard Stern
show.
Listen
to me. Listen to me, man, about this girl-on-girl fantasy, okay? That's every lesbian's dream, too, is to have some sweaty fat guy in the corner rubbing one out watching you. It is not her dream, okay?
But what if it's someone like Hal Sparks?
I mean, you know, if a guy that owns the show, he never shows up. He hates me. He's like, oh, well, I can be there for the whole show. I'm like, what?
What if it's Hal Sparks sitting in a corner rubbing one out?
Oh, well, then that's okay.
Okay,
Hal
then.
Hal Sparks. Okay, Rebecca, can I just tell you, first of all, okay, here's another story of our why we have such an ill-fated non-love life. First of all, he's perfect for me. He doesn't drink. Designated driver for life. Hello. He picked me up like an old-fashioned guy and dropped me back off after the party. But here's the problem. He doesn't sleep with girls that drink. So it's sort of like a weird drunken gift of the Magi. Yes, because he won't sleep with a girl if she's drunk. So
well, that's probably just
that
as well,
rules me out. Pardon me?
Yeah, he's a public figure, so he doesn't want to be involved in a scandal.
Yes. If I Rebecca, if I could be any more in love with him, he dances like a Rock'em Sock'em robot. It is so adorable. I just had to keep like pushing his head down all night. It was just,
wait, what?
I swear to God, I've got to get some tape. I'll get some tape of it.
Air?
Yes.
Is really?
He dances
dancing?
Exactly like a Rock'em Sock'em robot. I wanted to throw him through a window. He's so cute. Oh, I was acting unbelievably slutty. Rebecca, we need to, you know what we should do is just get a form apology letter.
Is there any video
fill in the blank. Stephanie is so sorry for her bore, and then fill in the blank at the party you were so gracious to invite her to. Something.
This is the apology I would write. Dear so-and-so, I'm so sorry Stephanie Miller exists. Sincerely, Rebecca.
Trust me, you don't know what a hell my life is because of it.
Maybe,
sincerely, Rebecca Taylor.
Maybe we should double confirm that Hal Sparks is coming in tomorrow.
Oh!
He just hasn't completely given up on Stephanie.
Yeah, if her dancing is any...
yes, Elizabeth Perkins said she will come in studio with us back in L.A. when I'm back.
Okay.
And so Shelley Wright says this Thursday.
Did they say this at the beginning of the night or at the end of...
Yeah, I think that's what happens.
No.
Then I sort of... They may start out fans of the show, and then by the time the end of the night, it's
oh dear.
Rebecca, here's a little list of things to do probably for me. Here's what I'm thinking, Chris. First of all, number one, dance lessons.
Yes.
Perhaps if I actually knew how to dance, then I wouldn't just act slutty to music.
Well.
Number two, rehab. I mean, I know you said I should go to rehab, and I said
no.
But it may be. Time.
However, one needs to have some kind of rhythm in order to dance, and I don't even think you possess that.
Yeah,
I don't think there's any.
Doesn't that mean that Stephanie's awful in bed if she can't dance? Maybe that's why
we could ask someone in 1942 the last time he was in my bed, other than a canine.
We could ask your high school boyfriend who you turned gay.
Oh, that's always an oldie but a goodie. All right. What else should be on the list, Rebecca? I forgot. So dance lessons, rehab.
Intervention, therapy.
Yes.
Psychic. Yes. Again, you need like three psychics.
Perhaps. Yeah. I need a lot of help.
We could get some publicity if we call those people from that show Intervention.
Yeah. Let's do it.
Stephanie,
are you a hoarder?
Oh.
Do dogs count?
Wine? She hoards wine.
Yeah. Here's the other thing that we should not do, Rebecca. Here's the problem. I should not be invited to things where, because normally just my box wine consumption is enough to do something stupid, but people like Melissa Etheridge can afford the good stuff. Then I just, you have to learn the, just because it's there doesn't mean you have to drink it. That's what I need to, the good stuff. It was like,
Did you pull out that old line, wine goes bad if you open it.
I don't want it to go to waste. Oh, Lord. All right. So, yes, good for me and my holiday. How was yours, kids? How was your Memorial Day?
It was good. I was in Palm Springs all weekend, got a nice tan and relaxed, and it was beautiful.
What are you, 90?
What?
Sat out by the pool in my boxers and my black socks. Why? Got a nice tan.
It was relaxing.
All right. Good. Mrs. Taylor, what did you and Mr. Taylor do?
Well, I burned you an effigy, and then I hung out with baby quails in the backyard. It was so cute.
Hmm. Awesome. Okay. You must be running out of effigies of me at this point.
No, there's plenty. We have a printer ink, and I just print pictures of you, and I toss them in the fire.
Good. That's what you barbecue around. Good.
I've done this before.
Good. All right. Well, good luck today. Let us know how all that goes with the celebrity bookings.
Yeah,
the people that I embarrass myself in front of this weekend.
Yeah, good luck.
All right. Somehow today, Rebecca, despite behavior, has been able to book Eric Bollard from Media Matters. It's a crazy mishmash of a Monday and Tuesday show.
That's right.
From Media Matters, Right Wing World Next Hour, Charlie Pierce of the Boston Globe, our regular Tuesday buddy, Ruth Pundit. General Russell Honoré, who was, we're very excited, obviously took over the Hurricane Katrina response and did such a great job. So dying to get the only thing, Rebecca, a bigger disaster than the Gulf oil spill this weekend, my social life. So
exactly.
Yeah. So there's always somebody to take the heat off. Yeah. And I do it for Obama because I love him. All right. 18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Are you having a party or something?
Non-stop.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Oh, boy. Rebecca's going to have to put that on the list. I think because I was dancing a lot, I did actually say to Melissa afterwards, somebody bring me some water. I'm thirsty. It's hot out here. The dance floor, I think I did. I'm pretty sure I did.
Oh.
Let me add that to the list.
Oh,
okay.
My God.
Mama was at Melissa Etheridge's birthday party in L.A. this weekend, and it's, it was not good. So, I was saying Shelley Wright was there, the country singer, the fabulous country singer that just came out. And now that I'm thinking about it, Chris, it was loud in there because it was a dance party.
Mm-hmm.
I thought she said I'm a fan of the show, but maybe she said I wish you were banned from this party. But I misheard.
Hmm.
But it was literally the party, a little bit country, a little bit rock and roll. Literally.
Yes.
I just wrote that myself right now.
Were there other rock stars there?
It was dark, which is, good lighting for me, but
okay.
I probably could have embarrassed myself with a lot more people if I'd seen them.
I see.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah. But I'm sure, so anyway, we'll call her people today because she said she would come in studio here in New York with me on Thursday, but I'm sure her people, I'm sure I'm on the list. There's just a list, and I'm on the not Oprah list.
Oprah,
she did a fabulous Oprah interview, so that's Oprah, and then it's just everyone else. And they will go, oh, I'm sorry, you are not Oprah? No.
Yeah, Oprah gets the big guess.
Mm-hmm. All right. What I'm hoping is Melissa Etheridge doesn't remember anything I did because there was, let me just say, a lot of tequila shots going on, Chris.
Oh, God. Was she drinking tequila shots?
My ill behavior was caused totally by box wine, as you know. Pardon?
Was she drinking tequila shots?
Oh, God, yes. A lot of dancing. It was just really a lot of drunken heathenism going on.
Oh,
just,
boy.
Exactly what Fox News would expect that party would look like.
It's, a bunch of Hollywood liberals together. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It was really a Hollywood liberal cluster. It was awesome. Awesome. But I think as a public service, we are required to play this for Melissa and all her.
Do you have feelings of inadequacy? Do you suffer from shyness? Do you sometimes wish you were more assertive? If you answered yes to any of these questions, ask your doctor or pharmacist about tequila. Tequila is the safe, natural way to feel better and more confident about yourself and your actions. Tequila can help ease you out of your shyness and let you tell the world that you're ready and willing to do just about anything. You'll you'll notice the benefits of tequila almost immediately. And with a regimen of regular doses, you can overcome any obstacles that prevent you from living the life you want to live. Shyness and awkwardness will be a thing of the past, and you'll discover many talents you never knew you had. Stop hiding and start living with tequila. Tequila may not be right for everyone. Women who are pregnant or nursing should not use tequila. However, women who wouldn't mind nursing or becoming pregnant are encouraged to try it. Side effects may include dizziness, nausea, vomiting, incarceration, erotic lustfulness, loss of motor control, loss of clothing, loss of money, loss of virginity, delusions of grandeur, table dancing, headache, dehydration, dry mouth, and a desire to sing karaoke and play all night rounds of strip poker, truth or dare, and naked twister. Warning, the consumption of alcohol may make you think you're whispering when you're not. It's a major factor in dancing like a retard. May cause you to tell your friends over and over again that you're in love with them. Also may cause you to think you can sing. Alcohol may lead you to believe that ex-lovers are really dying for you to telephone them at 4 a.m. Alcohol may make you think you can logically converse with members of the opposite sex without spitting. It may create the illusion that you are tougher, smarter, faster, and better looking than most people. And it may lead you to think people are laughing with you. Alcohol may cause pregnancy. And it also may be a major factor in getting your ass kicked. So what are you waiting for? Stop hiding and start living with tequila.
Mm-hmm. Boy, howdy. All right, I believe the FCC. That concludes our FCC requirement for this year.
Needed to do that.
All right. General Honoré on in hour number three. Boy. Could it be, Chris, at this point, you know, I think the phrase unmitigated disaster was coined for this particular.
It was.
Oil spill.
It was. Everything that could go wrong has gone wrong.
This is, seriously, someone needs to call George Clooney. This is the perfect storm. Yeah. I mean, seriously, it's like if you listen to, it literally is one disaster after another. So this could go on unabated until August, till they get the relief wells in, correct?
Yep.
This thing they were doing, the top kill, could have made it worse, right?
Yep.
The, what you call it, this other thing they're doing, the cap and cutting a thing, that could be another disaster.
Yep.
The thing they're trying tomorrow, I believe. Where do you even start? Hurricane season is coming.
Mm-hmm.
This could be literally a sort of the perfect storm meets Armageddon.
Could
if
be.
This thing is still flowing and a hurricane hits, I heard hurricane season starts, when is it, today,
yes.
I think? And it's expected to be a particularly active season. I cannot for the life of me, Chris, understand why any human is still saying we still should drill.
Yeah.
You know, one thing that I think it was Think Progress or somebody pointed out was really on point is that, you know, the media, particularly people start to pick up a phrase and you hear it over and over again. This is unprecedented. It's no.
No, it's not.
It's not unprecedented. Didn't prostitute toe sucker Dick Morris? I mean, an oil spill. This has been the first one we've had since, I don't know, forever, 1960. That's not true.
No, it's not true.
I'll find it. But the number of blowouts we've had.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, how anybody can say, oh, no, drilling is safe now, the technology is so much better, blah, 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 blah. They clearly have no friggin' idea.
Nope.
They have no friggin' idea. Explain to me the risk-to-benefit ratio when we have less than 2% of the nation's oil, of the world's oil. Okay. So the best hope for stopping the flow from the oil has been compared, check this out, Chris, to hitting a target the size of a dinner plate with a drill more than 2 miles into the earth, and is anything but a sure bet on the first attempt. And that's the relief well. So even the relief well, they're asking scientists I love this. On the chance the relief well doesn't work, scientists weren't sure exactly how much or how long the oil would flow. Maybe just forever.
Wait a minute.
Forever?
On the
square root of pi?
On the chance at the relief well? I mean, I thought that was the last best hope.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously that's the most sure way. The gusher would continue until the well borehole collapsed or pressure in the reservoir dropped to a point where oil no longer pushed to the surface, according to one scientist. Unmitigated disaster is not allowed to be used for anything else other than this from now on,
okay.
According to me. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
This is why we always say, when you drink, you make bad decisions.
Ain't that the truth?
Boy, howdy. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Michael in Houston on the oil spill. As we refer to it, the unmitigated disaster. Hello, Michael. Welcome. Oh, I didn't do the thing. I'm sorry. My screen is broken, too. Hello, Michael. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Thank you. First off, I've been in the oil field 35 years, and if BP pumped 36,000 barrels in 8 hours, doesn't that tell you that they're producing about 100,000 barrels out of the flow? And the other thing is, when you kink a water hose, it slows the flow down. When you straighten it up, you get the full flow, and that bent pipe is acting like a choke. So when they take that off, they may have a couple 100,000 barrels of oil coming out.
Wait, Mike, go back. When they take what off?
Whenever they cut the top.
They cut the pipe. That's the next thing that they're doing, right? They're cutting the pipe and putting this containment dome over it?
Yes, ma'am.
That's not going to work, is it, Michael?
I don't believe it will. I think what they should try doing is putting another set of BOPs on top of what they
BOPs?
Have.
BOPs? Have
blowout preventers.
Okay.
It's been done before.
Really? You
yes,
can do it after the fact. Isn't that like putting on a condom after it's already, a gusher, as it were?
I agree, but it has been done. And the other thing is, I don't understand why they had 5,000 feet of riser pipe below the BOPs or above them to the surface and didn't mm-hmm. have a set of BOPs on the top.
Yep.
None of this makes any sense, and this is the biggest.
No, it doesn't. No, listen, I have 0 years in the oil field, and it doesn't seem to me like it's going to work, you know? It just seems. It seems like yet another Roadrunner cartoon, but
I live in Louisiana, and this disaster is going to go on for decades. You won't.
Yeah, Michael. This last thing they said? Oh, there's a 70% chance, and you know that turned out to be BS, right?
Well, look, they pumped 36,000 barrels in 8 hours, and it came straight out the top. They're only saying there's 20,000 barrels coming out a day. Well, if 36,000 came out in 8 hours, that makes 100,000 barrels a day coming out.
Yep. Yep.
The math doesn't work.
Yep. Thanks, Michael. Yeah, and I wasn't good at math, as we know, either. And yet, I'm like, What I think is clear, Chris, is BP lives on a throne of lies.
They do.
We might just need to load the liar cannon for.
Sit on a throne of lies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What have they said that's true exactly? Oh, this has a good chance. Yeah, I'm just gonna say 70%.
Lie. Why must you be such a fat liar?
Indeed. Renee in Columbus, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Renee.
Yes, I'm calling about the Corps of Engineers requiring a permit. The reason why they require a permit, they want to know where are you going to get that sand from. Sand isn't manufactured. And they have to, when you remove that sand, you're putting in jeopardy the other coastal regions. Hello.
Oh, right. Yeah. I see what you're saying.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's if you live in one of those communities and see your shoreline being removed, I mean, that's so you're deeming that that area expendable when it comes to the hurricane season. So you have to know where you're going to get that sand from, and before you go ahead with any permit.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Well, they obviously didn't, thanks for calling, honey. They obviously didn't, plan for any of it. I mean, it's just every single thing that they ever, I mean, seriously, is there anything they've said that's not a lie at this point? Whether it's to Congress before all this happened or now?
Isn't it common sense that when you're doing something dangerous, you have to have a contingency plan for when something happens?
Right. Well, I mean, but the other thing is it's this whole like, oh, this just couldn't have been foreseen and blah, blah, blah. Well, yes, it could have.
Yeah.
And when you know, if you watch the 60 Minutes piece, you do anything, there was a chain of events, mm-hmm. most of which had to do with cost saving for BP that led to this directly. This is criminal negligence. This is not some sort of unprecedented, unforeseen disaster. Well, what did Rick Perry call it? It's an act of God. It was just an act of God. No. Colin Powell on ABC's This Week.
Military brings organization, it brings control, it brings assets. Whether it's the right combination of assets that you need right now, I don't know. But certainly, I'm sure my colleagues in the Pentagon are looking at it. And what you want is somebody who is in the military now, not somebody who used to be in the military. Somebody who is controlling troops now.
You know what? I got to agree with him. The military brings along a chain of command, a very, very efficient chain of command. they can get things done in a very, very efficient way, even if they're ordering BP what to do.
Right. Well, you know, somebody wrote this piece this weekend, Yes, We Can, Push Out BP. It says the latest attempt by BP to shut down its apocalyptic oil gusher, the Topkill maneuver, has failed despite BP CEO's Tony Hayward's assurance yesterday it had a 70% chance of success. The administration has been keeping an ecological criminal in charge of a crime scene during a national crisis. I got to tell you, when this started, I mean, first of all, would you like to have Barack Obama's job right now? No. I mean, seriously, I do get that these are the people that have the equipment and the expertise, and this is the whole problem with being a mile under the ocean. You know, even the military doesn't have that specialized equipment, but you're right, Chris, somebody at this point, you know, perhaps does have to push them out of the way. One thing, I mean, obviously everybody from different countries, scientists, they have been bringing people in and consulting, but I agree that anybody with an interest like BP in wanting to cover this up should not be involved.
Right.
I mean, other companies involved in ultra-deep water drilling include engineer and giant Schlumberger, Norway's nationalized oil company Statoil, Shell, and Chevron. Mm. So, you know, way above my pay grade what exactly we should be doing. But, you know, this article points out the president has the authority to nationalize BP America and seize all its assets, rendering the question of reliance on BP moot, which I'm for that.
I'm for that as well.
They absolutely should fail to exist after this. Or there's an easier option. BP is on the hook for all costs of this apocalyptic disaster. Obama can simply buy BP America bill to its foreign parent company. At this point, I can do at this point.
Yeah, I don't think that we can shut down an international company like this, but we can absolutely revoke all of its licenses to drill for oil in our waters.
Right. So this thing, it's what, tomorrow they're readying another Wile E. Coyote scheme.
Yeah.
This one is a cut and cap process to put a lid on the leaking wellhead so oil can be siphoned to the surface. Check this out. So for the relief well to succeed, the borehole must precisely intercept the damaged well. If it misses, BP will have to back up the drill, plug the hole it just created, and try again.
So we could create another
hole? Anyone that's ever had sex with a drunk guy that knows what this could be like.
Wait a minute. If we have the technology to drill the first hole for the well, why don't we have the technology to drill all of these other holes to try and stop it?
I don't know. The point is, it's difficult, and it's very precise, is though, you know what they're saying.
Sure.
But
we have the technology to drill the hole to get the oil in order to make money, but we don't have the technology to drill another hole to...
I don't know. It's like one of those carnival games that you have very little chance of winning.
Is it just
this
another
is how
profit
it's described.
Motive?
The best hope for stopping the flow of oil has been compared to hitting a target the size of a dinner plate with a drill more than 2 miles into the earth. We're never going to win the big stuff to a prize, is my point. Mm-hmm. A Louisiana State University professor of environmental science said, if you've got to cut that riser, that's the thing they're planning to do tomorrow, that's risky. You could take a bad situation and make it worse. Well, that's good. Well, I'm feeling better, aren't you?
Oh, yeah.
I'm feeling better. Yeah, it could make it worse. Uh-huh. Much like apparently the Topkill did.
Uh-huh.
Hmm. Here's some more not-so-fun facts about the oil spill. The location of the spill, Chris, couldn't be worse.
Great.
To the south. Mm-hmm. More bad news. I'm telling you, perfect storm, part two. To the south lies an essential spawning ground for imperiled Atlantic bluefin tuna and sperm whales. To the east and west, coral reefs and coastal fisheries of Florida, Alabama, Mississippi, and Texas. And to the north, Louisiana's coastal marshes. More than 125 miles of Louisiana coastline already have been hit with oil. It's just killing us by degrees, said one Tulane University ecologist. It's an area that historically has been something of a superhighway for hurricanes, too. Oh, what?
Yeah.
Okay. So, by the way, this last huge oil spill, I can't remember which one, the Ixtoc, was also hampered by hurricane season. That begins today.
Yep.
So that's...
there's
more! It's predicted to be really active.
Yeah. About as active as the year we had Katrina.
Three of the worst storms... Funny you should mention that, Chris.
Uh-oh. Oh, boy.
Three of the worst storms. It's just like my weekend. It gets worse and worse. Three of the worst storms ever to hit the Gulf Coast, Betsy in 1965, Camille in 1969, and Katrina in 2005, all passed right over the leak site.
Crazy.
So there's a very good chance, A, there's going to be a hurricane, B, it's going to go right over that. Maybe, since it starts today, right when they do the oil cut, they cut the pipeline and that makes it worse, boom, then comes the biggest hurricane ever tomorrow.
Okay. If they drill one of these relief wells, there's going to have to be a barge above it siphoning up all the oil, right? Is that barge going to have to be sitting there in the middle of hurricane season?
I don't know. All I know is this ends somehow.
Stand the reason
with
that they would.
Ben Affleck, I don't know, surfing toward New York like on a surfboard in the middle of I don't know,
what?
Something. It's one of those disaster movies. You know what I'm talking about.
It's
not
Jiggly.
Armageddon something. There's going to be a giant tidal wave. Will hit Manhattan while I'm on the air. It's, I don't know.
That was
just
deep
impact. It's not going to end well.
That was Deep Impact. And,
sure.
And Ben Affleck was not in Deep Impact.
Exactly. It's Perfect Storm meets Deep Impact meets Jiggly. All right. 45 minutes after the hour.
Oh, boy.
I am wound up like a top this morning.
You are.
45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ow, I just snarfed oatmeal out my nose. It must be the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it 50 minutes after the hour. Admiral Mike Mullen on the oil spill.
Any change in how we would do this would really be up to the president. There are some limits in terms of skills that we have in order to do this. We've looked at the technical side of this. It's an enormously difficult challenge technically.
Yeah, I guess what BP is doing a good job on, Chris, is doing the PR cleanup for themselves. They BP bust in 400 temporary workers just for Obama's visit.
Yeah.
Just to, you know, to clean stuff up real quick.
Uh-huh.
In the area that he was going to look at. Yes. President Obama obviously went to assess the oil spill response effort. An official in Jefferson Parish, Louisiana, reporting that BP, quote, bust in 400 cleanup workers into Grand Isle at a rate of $12 an hour. Oh, that was nice of them.
Oh, sure.
To be there when Obama arrived. A BP contractor, however, insisted to a TV station it wasn't a dog and pony show, but rather just a sheer coincidence that all the workers arrived on the day the president came to inspect the company's work. Oh, my goodness.
You're a lying sack of crap. Mm-hmm. You're a lying, steaming, stinking, nasty sack of liquid crap.
Oily, sticky, nasty sack
of liquid.
You just need to keep the liar cannon loaded all morning for anything BP says. That's a coincidence.
Liar, 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 pants on. Whoa.
I mean, seriously? Somebody seriously went on TV and said that is a complete coincidence. What? Mm-hmm.
I wonder if it was that adorable Tony guy from BP with the British accent.
With the Hugh Grant type charm.
Yes, Tony
that
Hayward.
Guy. Carol Browner, Obama's energy advisor.
But it's important for people to understand that from the beginning, the government has been in charge. We have been directing BP to take important steps.
You know, that is true. I mean, I guess the only thing I can say thus far is, like, at least thank God they're forcing them to drill two relief wells.
Yeah.
BP was only going to, at this point, I wouldn't trust BP to do anything. No, trust us. You only need one because they're expensive
right.
to drill, obviously. I think I mentioned this whole, how many people have gone on TV and called this unprecedented. Unprecedented. Representative George Miller, a fine American Democrat of California, responded to the myth that this catastrophe... I need my fine American music. Thank you. This catastrophe was unprecedented and thus unforeseeable. Good for him. This is what I was saying. Every time we have a catastrophic event like this involving British Petroleum or other parts of the oil and gas industry, we're told that this is an unpredictable cascade of unforeseeable errors, that this is unprecedented, that nobody could have foreseen this. This is sort of like the bankers on Wall Street. Nobody could have foreseen the risks that they engineered themselves, so nobody's responsible. responsible. I don't believe there was some black swan or perfect storm event. There wasn't something that could have could not have been foreseen, and I don't think it's something you can promise will never happen again. Thank you. This is what we were saying. Mm-hmm. Like the rest of the oil industry, BP has a long record of tragic, extraordinary environmental disasters stretching from Alaska to Nigeria. There have been dozens of oil well blowouts in the Gulf of Mexico, including 39 since 2007, and the worst oil blowout in history in 1979, right, when we were talking about. In the event, another tragic reminder is, one expert said that those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for us to go, oh, this was just a one-time thing, we'll get it all fixed up and be back in business. That's the problem. You know, it hasn't gotten the press and the attention that this one has, but there's a lot of them.
Yeah, there are.
The one in the Gulf of Mexico in 1979, the Ixtoc blowout,
mm-hmm.
I love this. That was totally different, Chris. You know, this is unprecedented this time because that top hat, they called it a sombrero back then.
Oh, see.
So that's worn an entirely different kind of headgear. So that's nothing like this at all. They called it a sombrero. You know, it's like Michael Steele. It's different. You know, you wear your hat a different way. But, you know, we're all
there. Yeah, wear it at a jaunty angle.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's just how the oil industry rolls. You know how it is.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Carol Browner again. Or no, I'm sorry, Senator Chuck Schumer. Or I don't know. Oh, no, I'm sorry, it is Carol Browner energy advisor.
The government's been in control from the beginning. BP said, we're going to drill one relief well. These are expensive wells for them to drill. We said, that's not good enough. You're going to drill a second one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't, you know, that's the problem. I am neither a scientific and environmental or a legal expert, Chris, but I don't know. Like I say, certainly people are starting to speculate about that, what, you know, legally and constitutionally. Some people are even saying the president could go to Congress if he needs extra authority to do whatever. But, I think you can't trust one thing that BP says.
We need to get BP out of there.
Chuck Schumer on Transocean and BP.
Transocean owned the rig, BP leased the rig. And they're each going to be playing a game of pointing the finger at one another. So if Transocean's off the hook, the taxpayers, the industries that were hurt, the communities that were hurt could be in real trouble.
I think they all clearly have responsibility. Transocean, Halliburton, and BP, it just seems BP is, you know, certainly if the 60 Minutes piece is to be believed, is certainly much more in terms of legal sense.
Absolutely.
Liable. Oh, there he is. It's that foppish Tony Hayward. British rake.
I'm sure they were genuinely ill, but whether it was anything to do with dispersants and oil, whether it was food poisoning or some other reason for them being ill, you know, food poisoning is clearly a big issue when you've got, you know, concentration of this number of people in temporary camps, temporary accommodation. It's something we have to be very, very mindful of. It's one of the big issues of keeping the army operating, you know, armies march on their stomachs.
Oh, my God, he's the British liar character. Did he just say it might be food poisoning? Anytime you have a large group of people together, there's food poisoning?
Yeah.
No, there isn't. What?
Yeah.
I'm sure they're ill, but we don't know if it's... it couldn't be the oil. Maybe someone got a bad crumpet. Did he just say that?
Yes.
Anytime a large group of people get together, there's food poisoning?
Although I don't think he said the word crumpet.
All right, I threw that in.
Yeah,
I was looking for a British... Maybe that was something bad in the banger's mash.
A scone.
This was a scone gone awry.
Some bad clotted cream.
He said, I'm sure people... we don't know if it's from the oil.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. What liar cannon?
You're a liar! You're a liar! You slimy scumbag liar! Liar! You damn liar!
I've simply made the logical deduction that you are a liar.
What a liar. Slimy. Particularly slimy.
Yes.
Why is my favorite Jesus Christ?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Tony Hayward.
Uh-huh.
You're a baby Jesus hater, Tony Hayward. All right. Tony Hayward.
We're sorry for the massive disruption it's caused to their lives. And, you know, there's no one who wants this thing over more than I do. You know,
sure.
I'd love my life back.
What?
So
you want your life back?
This thing done more than I do. And we are doing everything we can to contain the oil offshore, defend the shoreline, and return people's lives to normal as fast as we can.
Oh, if only you could have your life back. That's really the important thing here. Thanks for focusing on the important things. Thank you, bastard person.
And I'll tell you why I can't put up with you people, because you're bastard people.
Wow. You know what? He maybe at this point should just not speak. Perhaps he needs, his PR person needs to just be there to put her hand over his mouth, like in that Bullets Over Broadway. Just do, where do we have our don't speak? That's what he really needs. He needs
no,
a handler.
Don't speak. Don't speak. Don't speak. No. Silence. Silence. Don't speak.
58 minutes after the hour, Eric Bohler from Media Matters for America to co-host Right Wing World next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller, like Mark in Minneapolis did.
Huh?
Pardon me?
Mark in...
He's talking about my, well, you know, Mama announced I'm moving back to L.A.
That's right.
I can't make it here, I can't make it anywhere, apparently.
Well, it turns out Broadway does not go for booze and dope.
No, Broadway does not do booze, so I'm crawling back to Hollywood.
That's right.
On my scabby knees that already crawled after I got booted out of Hollywood.
Yes. But apparently Melissa Etheridge's party does go for booze and dope.
Well,
ooh, boy, howdy, days. Listen, my fingers are scabby from typing apology letters this morning for my behavior at Melissa Etheridge's party this weekend. Yikes.
You need to have some form letters printed up for that sort of thing.
I think I will. All right. Jim, if Shelley Wright shows up in studio like she says she will this Thursday and you're in L.A., Jim's probably going to fly to New York to be here for that.
He may.
I believe he's had Google Images up ever since that news broke.
She's a bit of a hottie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I have a shot.
Mark writes, dear Steph, it would be presumptuous of me to give you career advice, but Lord knows you need some adult supervision. The move back to L.A. sounds like a good idea, but I have one overwhelming doubt. The common thread with all the boneheaded, foolish, near catastrophic decisions you've made this past year is that they've all been decisions made by
Stephanie Miller.
Yes. I'd feel better if you built some sort of consensus for this move. The main reason, of course, for the Gotham experiment was the Pacific time zone combined with the morning show slot preempted your social life. I believe I have a solution here. I think you should complete the transition to a nocturnal existence. You could get up at a civilized 6 p.m., make the rounds media whoring, indulge the conventional kind into the wee hours, cap it off with a pre-dawn inebriation, then sleepwalk through the broadcast. You know, same old, pretty much, like you do now. That's right, Stephanie, vampire hours. And if you happen to meet somebody undead to redeem your non-life, well, I'm just saying you're not getting any younger and they're not getting any older, which
that's true.
Conveys some sort of symmetry in the universe.
That's true.
Thank you, Mark.
It works for the people on True Blood.
I'm going to start dating the undead.
That'll make us more popular. Make it a vampire show.
Let's book Elvira as our first guest. All right. You know, kids, I know it's all cattywampus because it's a, it's a holiday
Tuesday.
Week, but it's time for Eric Bohler. Eric Bohler from Media Matters for America, doing the Lord's work as usual.
Eric Bohler.
Come on, baby.
Eric Bohler.
Let's dive into the right-wing world.
I don't know what that means.
Eric Bohler from Media Matters, whom we love.
Bohler.
Good morning, Eric Bohler. Oh, I did the thing wrong. No, I didn't. Hello, Eric.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Heading back to L.A., huh?
Yes, I am. I get my exercise by crawling back and forth.
Yes. New York chewed her up and spat her out.
New York rejected me like a bad kidney.
And that's the new friendly Times Square version of New York.
Yeah.
That's not even the old rough and tumble New York.
Eric, loved your piece on, the New York Times ignored gaping holes in the candidate Bush's war record, and they were all over this Blumenthal thing. I mean, you and I talk about, you know, we expect to see the things we see at Fox News, but it's the mainstream media, I agree with you, that seems to go overboard on Democratic candidates.
Well, that's how they prove that they don't have a liberal bias. And the New York Times, there was two amazing, baffling incidents during that memorable 2000 campaign. They completely played dumb about Bush's war record, and then at the very closing days, they almost ignored the whole drunk driving scheme when that came tumbling out. I mean,
I know.
Real quick, the Boston.
I love that Dan Rather was the only casualty of Bush's. War record,
In May of 2000, the Boston Globe front page spelled out everything you needed to know about questions about George Bush's war record. The New York Times basically for 6 months refused to acknowledge that story. Imagine if they had put a story on Al Gore, how his, when he left Vietnam, it turns out he had worked the system and hadn't shown up for 18 months. I'm pretty sure the Times would have covered that story in about 6 hours, let alone 6 months.
Well, and Eric, I'm not saying what Blumenthal did was right, but
right.
When they went back and really polled, like, these writers in Connecticut that have covered him all his life, they all said he's not had a pattern of doing this, and he's always made it clear he didn't serve in combat. He did misspeak a couple of times, but they were saying there wasn't a pattern that he didn't, Whereas look at this guy Mark Kirk now in Illinois, right? I mean, claimed he was the U.S. Navy Intelligence Officer of the Year, an award he never won, and he's been out for years. It's on record. It's in his, was on his website.
Actually, I won that.
And the problem with the Times is they posted, this video that left out sort of the exculpatory comments that Blumenthal had made, where he clearly suggested at the beginning of this talk that he hadn't served in Vietnam. And then when the Times was questioned on the reporting, they issued the statement. It sounded like it came from the RNC, lecturing Blumenthal how he needed to be honest with the voters of Connecticut. I mean, just completely inappropriate for a news organization to be sort of, again, lecturing a politician like that. So the whole thing was not handled very well. Of course, our ombudsman thought it was great, so no harm, no foul.
Right.
There
is differing degrees in for instance, Joe Sestak, every time he comes on the show, compliments me on my military service because he's mistaking me for Randy Rhodes, and I don't correct him. But I've never claimed to have a military career. I just don't correct it. But, so that's what it is. The Sestak story, how about this? I'm not sure when this, this is from sometime in the 1980s, Eric. Senator S.I. Hayakawa spurned a Reagan administration suggestion that if he drops out of the crowded Republican Senate primary race in California, President Reagan would find him a job. Oh, we're going to have to posthumously impeach Ronald Reagan, I guess. We'll have to knock over the library. That's not going to go over well.
I mean, everyone knows this is not illegal. I mean, anyone who's, add up all those Sestak articles and news reports on TV, and I defy you to find a single independent, nonpartisan legal expert who's looked at this and said something illegal happened. I mean, there's no basis for it. And it's just sort of this kabuki dance.
Eric, all I'm saying is
we
could create some more stimulus jobs knocking down the Reagan Library after the impeachment. That's all I'm saying. All right, let's dive into the right-wing world with Eric Bollard, shall we? Oh, gee. Remember when Glenn Beck said the families, Eric, should be off limits? Families should be off limits.
Oh, yeah.
Did you plug the hole yet, Daddy? Is that their? That's the level of their education. That they're coming to Daddy and saying, Daddy, did you plug the hole yet?
Daddy, the best thing you ever did was get that BlackBerry. I don't know how to reach you. Daddy, you're a puppet. Did you know that? And we do a puppet show. Mommy said your presidency is like doing a puppet show.
Ooh.
Oh, Jim, that is stunning character work, isn't it?
What is he smoking, and where can I get some?
Yeah.
That's, wow.
Is this radio show really 3 hours of that?
Oh, my God. Oh. Save yourself the misery.
Yeah.
But, of course, this is like 48 hours after he had on, Sarah Palin, who completely manufactured this claim that author Joe McGinnis was a peeping Tom and lurking through her windows. And so on that, Beck was, adamant, just leave the kids alone, leave the families alone. 48 hours he's doing mocking imitations of Obama's kids. He kind of sort of apologized for that, but as Media Matters pointed out, he's been attacking the Obama family, kids and wife, for regularly, all the time he does it. Yeah. And then he just hypocritically claims, you know, you got to leave the families out of it. You know, whatever. He's a...
Yeah.
I don't
yeah. Oh, I'm sure you guys have notated the some delightful things have been said about Michelle Obama.
Yeah.
and the
downright
well.
Ugly racist and yeah.
Yep. Yep.
All right, John Feary in the Situation Room.
Well, I think that this is one of our most important national holidays, and I think for the president, he's only in his second year, and we are in two wars. I think he's got to go the extra mile to show how he's connecting with the troops, how he connects with American history, how he connects with all those who have laid their lives down in the past. I think for him, this is too soon in his presidency to say, you know, I'm going to give this over to Joe Biden. For him, he needs to be there.
Okay. Am I crazy or didn't the president speak yesterday? It was raining in the first place and
that's
then he
right.
went, right, Chris?
Well, yeah, he spoke at Lincoln National Cemetery in the Chicago area.
Right, I love how it's the most important national holiday,
right.
So of course we should politicize it to no end.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It's disgusting. It's just absolutely disgusting. A day of remembrance for dead American soldiers, and these people are incapable of not turning it into an anti-Obama crusade.
Mm-hmm.
It's
yeah.
just, it's frightening.
He caused it to rain.
Yeah.
That's
certainly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no,
all right.
A.B.
Stoddard on the Britt Baer Show.
Well, it's I just find it so painful to watch the president who has expanded government, who believes in an active government, in an efficient and effective government, and has promoted this as his philosophy all along, standing up and really, really having to say, we're kind of powerless. The government is not able to control this. I can't cap a well, and BP does sort of know best. And it they're trying to take control, but still seeing that they don't know how to fix it.
Well, yeah. They gave too much control to BP, that's for sure.
Well, the administration is obviously not immune to criticism, but I
right.
love this idea that, you know, the federal government, how can it not know the answer to a drilling riddle 3 miles under the water and 5 miles, you know?
Yeah, I think the point...
people can barely do it.
So, Eric, I think the point is if A.B. Stoddard had been in charge, things would have gone much... perhaps even if she had Steve Doocy's, brain power with her, that things would have gone much better.
So why can't Bobby Jindal stop the oil spill? I mean, he's Republican, he's being touted as this, you know, great
yeah.
Republican in Louisiana. Why can't he stop it?
I mean,
this idea that... makes my
no, I mean, exactly. That's what I was saying last hour, Eric, is would you want to be Barack Obama? I mean, like you say, it's a mile under the ocean. These are the people that are supposed to have the expertise and the equipment. I mean, so at this point, you know, you got to take things as they come. They were I mean, first of all, everything BP's lie has said has turned out to be a lie.
Yeah.
Right.
So at this point, yeah, I don't know what you do. At this point, maybe you do nationalize it.
And these are the people who hate the government, who
right.
hate the federal government, who wanted to drown it in the bathtub. I mean, they wanted to fund everything the federal government does. I mean, I don't know.
Right.
Why did the federal government...
Oh, no, they'll criticize him. People are saying already, Eric, he should buy BP. And
yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I mean? But then they're going to go, oh, see, look what a socialist. Now he wants
to
only...
Can you imagine Glenn Beck and Rush Limbaugh's reaction if 48 hours after the spill, Obama had essentially announced government control of BP?
Right. Push BP out of the way.
I mean,
no private sector.
There would have been riots
right.
in every yeah. Tea Party city in this country.
Exactly. Eric Bollert remains in the sidecar as we continue Right Wing World. 18 minutes after the hour, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
This is a disgusting display.
Boy, you can say that again.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 24 minutes after the hour. Eric Bollert from Media Matters for America joins us to finish up Right Wing World. Demon Seed Liz Cheney, what a delight, on the Fox News Sunday on the president.
You've got a president now who thinks that saying something makes it so. You know, you showed it in the last segment when he said, I'm going to have the most transparent administration in history, but that doesn't mean you're actually going to be open and transparent. It's not the same thing as we've seen with him. On the war, he says, I know we're at war. But he doesn't understand. He actually has to lead us in the fight. The words themselves aren't enough. And, you know, going down to Louisiana and saying, gosh, you know, I'm heartbroken, I'm angry, I'm frustrated, and then going on vacation to Chicago really doesn't send a message that this is a man who's leading.
Oh, dear God, where do we start, Eric? Do we start with the transparency of her father's administration? Do we start with his administration's response to Hurricane Katrina? Do we... You go ahead.
Well, it's funny because it seemed like she had this sort of media burst a few months ago, and everyone on the left was just like, are you kidding me? I mean, you know, what has she done? What does she stand for other than
right.
being Dick Cheney's daughter? And then she sort of disappeared, and I thought, well, maybe it was just a fad. But I think the cable channels and the network shows are just going to continue to use her and just continue to give her a free ride. As you say, I mean, the double standards or the hypocrisy, it's like every sentence.
Dear God, her father's company partially responsible for this, Halliburton.
Exactly.
He's a big oil guy that helped put in these lax regulations on the oil industry. Like, where do you even start with that whole little, whatever that little soundbite was, right?
Well, you know, I think progressives or any liberal Democrat just wouldn't have the nerve to go on national TV and say those kinds of things because they know they would get called out by the press, and the moderator would sort of look at them like, are you kidding me? And go through the list that we just did in a very respectful way. But, you know, Liz Cheney and you know, people like her, they realize it's just an open runway, and they can say whatever they want,
That's what annoys me. And them in particular, Eric, her father and her, they do not challenge them. I mean, you would think someone would break down that whole thing like we just did, but that's those are the rules. You can't mention any of the hypocrisy and what, yeah.
Doesn't happen, though.
Yeah, doesn't happen. Okay. Rich Karlgaard?
Karlgaard. Yes.
Is he related to Dr. Hoffhauer? Or Dr. Hansmeier?
Hoffhauer.
Okay, mm-hmm. On Fox News.
Well, a war zone doesn't map well with this president. You know, we elected a president, we got a princess. We got somebody who offends very easily, doesn't break a sweat other than when he's golfing or playing basketball. And he's, you know, even Maureen Dowd called him the laconic president.
Okay, that's a, he's
we
a princess.
We elected a president and got a princess.
Yeah.
Isn't that cute? I can see why we haven't heard of Rich
Karlgaard. Yeah.
Okay. That's all he's got?
That's it.
Okay. All right. Prostitute toe sucker Dick Morris.
They're describing today is high ranking. Being on the Intelligence Advisory Board, that's important. No, it's important. And I'm not. And if that offer were conveyed, I think that would be, in my judgment, grounds for impeachment.
So, in other words, you still.
If Obama knew about it.
Boy, if Sean Hannity knows that that'll lead to the posthumous impeachment of Ronald Reagan and the destruction of the Reagan Library, I'm not sure he'll agree with that.
Dick Morris and Hannity spent at least a week, hyping the SESTEC, you know, it's an impeachable offense, et cetera, because, you know, he was offered a job, he was something of value, we know the definition of bribery. And then last Friday, turns out, he was not offered a job, because I don't know any job that's an unpaid advisory position. That's not a job.
And even Daryl Issa is backing down now.
Yeah, there's much stronger grounds for the Reagan impeachment at this point. So maybe Sean Hannity might want to shut his pie hole soon.
So Dick Morris' whole claim about, you know, something of value was offered, but there was nothing of value offered. So now it's just fallback position of,
Never mind. Then they all go Emily Latella on us.
Yeah.
Eric Boulder from Media Matters for America. Thank you, sir, for doing Tuesday duty. We'll see you next week.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, there he goes. Senator Hayakawa, I think I'm reading from a 1980s news story, Jim. Did you see that? Senator Hayakawa on Wednesday spurned a Reagan administration suggesting if he drops out of the crowded Republican Senate primary in California, President Reagan will find him a job. Well, that sounds like something of value, an actual job.
Yeah.
I'm not interested, said the 75-year-old Hayakawa. I do not want to be an ambassador. I do not want an administration post. Among Republicans seeking Hayakawa's seat, Representative Barry Goldwater Jr., Maureen Reagan, the president's daughter, and Pete Wilson.
But Hayakawa did not like Greenigs and Ham.
No, they wanted to shoo him out of there, I guess, with a job. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You're not going to like this as much as I do, but she's drunk.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800.
Sorry.
Yes, Jim?
That's what happened to me with that Hayakawa thing. I was drunk. There I go again.
Oh, by the way, do we have a Shane O montage about Daryl Issa versus Joe Sestak, don't we?
Yes.
He's gifted us with a montage about the whole Calderon.
The White House tried to help Senator Arlen Specter win the Pennsylvania primary by offering his opponent a job to get him out of the race. Congressman Daryl Issa.
This is serious. This is an impeachable offense.
All right, stop.
You're crazy.
No, poor people are crazy. I'm eccentric.
Do you think there was anything illegal?
If you offer a job or a position, 18 U.S.C. 600 clearly says that is a crime.
Wrong!
So is it a crime?
Computer says no.
Yo, man, let's get out of here. Word to
Pat Toomey.
That may be one of my favorites. Thank you, Shano.
Oh, yay.
It's Issa, Issa, baby.
That's right.
What a tool. Okay, not Shano.
No.
Issa. Okay. You know, it's all cattywampus. It's a holiday week, but Charlie Pierce, our Tuesday pal, is here. There's only one man now that understands, and that's the author of Idiot America.
Pierce.
Charlie Pierce, the funniest writer in the world, from the Boston Globe.
Why is everybody always laughing with me?
Hello, Charlie Pierce. A couple of honks on your clown nose this morning.
Oh,
how are you?
That was some fun. Have you noticed, by the way, that isotope rhymes with isodope?
Yeah.
Yeah, isn't it hilarious?
Well, we had a tough weekend up here. You know, we had Canadian forest fire smoke all over New England.
Oh, really?
Oh, did you really?
It was a natural disaster that, you know, didn't make the news because the Gulf of Mexico is dying.
Wow.
But there were these big old forest fires. They all came down over New England almost all the way to D.C. It was very smoky outside.
It's that way every year in Los Angeles.
Yeah. You know. Somebody said, I moved to New York for the winter, and I'm moving back to L.A. for fire season.
Yeah.
I'm smart like that.
Is that differentiated from earthquake season and mudslide season?
And riot season.
Yeah, there's always a delight to be had. So, Charlie Pierce, where do we even start? Yeah, let's talk about the oil. I would say unmitigated disaster is the only way to describe it at this point.
Yeah, I think it's really time for that really kind of insufferable Brit to get off my television set. It really is.
Yeah.
It's time for British Petroleum not to be a part of this anymore.
Yeah, Tony.
It's time for them to take a timeout on their mats in the corner of the classroom.
Yeah,
until the U.S. attorney. Either that, or it's time for them all to be in the Plaquemines Parish jail.
Yeah, I wish he would turn Japanese. I really think so, because in that case, he would have to commit ritual suicide.
Tony Hayward said that he would like his life back. How about those 11 people that lost their lives on his
platform? Yeah, he'd like his life.
Platform.
It's really kind of annoying, this whole thing for him.
I would like him to get his 25 to life back.
Yeah.
The British, the Grey Poupon charming
this,
accent
this
is starting to wear thin.
It's been rather inconvenient for me. I've missed so many cricket games.
By the way, did you hear this one, everybody? Chris, give me this one. He said, I'm sure people are ill, but we don't know if it's the oil.
I'm sure they were genuinely ill, but whether it was anything to do with dispersants and oil, whether it was food poisoning or some other reason for them being ill, you know, there's a... Food poisoning is clearly a big issue when you've got a concentration of this number of people in temporary camps, temporary accommodation. It's something we have to be very, very mindful of. It's one of the big issues of keeping the army operating. You know, the army's marching on their stomachs.
Yes, especially when the fish is contaminated with oil.
Food poisoning was a very big concern in the Army of Northern Virginia in 1865. And you know why they might have food poisoning, Tony? Because you poisoned all the shrimp in the damn Gulf.
Yeah, right.
Because, you poisoned the ocean. That's why. I mean, seriously, he sits on a throne of lies. I mean, literally, they sent down, 400 workers to clean up right before Obama got there. And literally, a BP spokesman was like, that's just a coincidence. They got there the same time as the president. What?
Well, not just that, but it gets reported over the weekend that they told whoever they were, they told whichever half-drunk blind man was issuing the permits, who was watching porn with his other eye, that they could clean up a spill 10 times this size.
God. How about this guy? Robert Dudley. Robert Dudley, BP Managing Director. This will inspire confidence in you.
There is no certainty, but we feel like the percentages are better, that we'll be able to contain the oil.
We'll be able to.
I am completely inspired by that.
We will be able to contain this disaster to planet Earth. That's the good news.
Great.
Yeah, you know, I mean, seriously, Charlie, where did he pull that 70% thing out of his ass? There's a 70% chance this top kill will work.
From the oceanographic research of the famous professor Dr. Otto Urass. Yes, that's, that's his work. Yes.
Yeah, and it sounds like this next thing.
He briefly had a career, by the way, as an economist in the Bush administration. Yes. But then we went back to his first love, oceanography.
That would be the Jurassic period.
Exactly. Very nice.
Yeah.
You know, the zingers are flying this morning. I need a helmet. Now, so this thing they're trying, what is it, tomorrow? What is this now? The cut and cap something? I can't even keep track.
Crimp and repeat or
slice and dice?
Slip and slide, something they're doing tomorrow.
Scratch and sniff.
Scratch and sniff, yes.
It's either the scratch and sniff or the slip and slide. But it's the, so they're cutting the riser and putting the containment dome. And I'm not a scientist, but that's not going to work either, is it?
No, of course.
And it's probably will make it worse, like the top kill did.
As Bob Herbert pointed out in the New York Times today, if you have to dig a well that's so deep you can't repair it, don't dig it. That's a bad well.
Yeah.
Also, in Canada, they command you to build the relief well simultaneously with the original well.
Yeah, but what
in
they
anticipation.
They're burning their forests and choking me to my all-day barbecue. I'm very upset with Canada this weekend.
And then, of course, they're even saying there's a chance the relief wells won't work. And then literally they're at the point of asking scientists, so how long will this go on until, you know, to the square root of pi, till dinosaurs roam the earth again?
Well, I think like, what? The Coast Guard guy said at least 60 days, right? The Coast Guard guy said till August, which at which point, I mean, who knows? Maybe something really terrible will happen. We'll stop paying attention to it like we did with the coal miners, but I doubt it.
But what if the relief wells don't work? That's our last best opportunity.
Well, hurricane season starts today.
Yeah, well, okay, the nuclear bomb up. Yeah, I guess.
I mean, seriously, we were saying it's like deep impact meets perfect storm. It's literally hurricane season is supposed to be more active than usual, starts today.
The whole nuclear bomb thing reminds me of all those 1950s horror movies, you know, with the giant ants and stuff. Because there's always one moment where a general says, I'm sorry, men, I think it's time to use the atom bomb.
Yeah.
and it never works either, by the way. The ants keep coming. Until they catch the flu or something and die automatically.
Yeah, there's a little Mars attacks in here. There's a whole. It's a whole.
Well,
I'll
tell you one thing. Bill, that guy Nungesser, the guy who's the parish executive or whatever, he's not going to take this much longer. He's about at it with everybody.
Yeah, he's going medieval on it. Well, you know, we're having a General Honoré on next hour, and boy, anxious to get his take on all of this because it just.
Likely to tell you, hey, I did my one disaster in Louisiana.
Yeah,
what
really.
You
it's
right.
Like WTF time. WTF general, right?
I got to admit, Kenneth DePage there, the governor,
yeah.
He gets out of a helicopter real pretty.
So
he
Charlie,
really jumps out of a helicopter well.
Yeah, I'll say. What else?
I wish
you'd
try it at 20,000 feet.
Jim.
You wrote a great piece about, I think, Rand Paul's crazy. Meet his lunatic successors. I love the one line you write. What happens, what seems to have eluded our highly paid colleagues is that the Republican Party is currently hard at work gnawing off its own leg to escape a trap of its own devising.
That's exactly right. I mean, they're trying to get away from these folks. I mean, obviously the guy D'Annunzio down in North Carolina is the big example. But you've noticed they put Rand Paul on a steamer trunk for a couple of weeks.
Yeah,
you know, trying to get him deprogrammed.
Yeah, and then the teabaggers are going to start teabagging other teabaggers like Scott Brown.
You know,
it's hilarious.
You know who's taken a real beating up here for a while was Scott Brown.
Aha, uh-huh.
That's what
because
I'm saying.
He voted
right.
for the financial reform package. Then, of course, he went right back and said, you know, don't ask. We need to keep don't ask, don't tell until we make him another 25,000 studies, and then we'll decide that we want to keep it anyway. But so that sort of got them. But he got a lot of heat up here. He's the guy gnawing off his own leg, really, the classic example of it, because he wants to be a senator. Mm-hmm. And he needs to be a senator from here, and he can't be a senator from here if he's a teabagger. He can't do it.
He didn't vote for Don't Ask, Don't Tell, right? The repeal?
He voted against the repeal.
Yeah, and this is a guy, as you frequently point out, that has worn pink patent leather shorts.
He won't for the
$750 leather, yeah. Free leather shorts.
Yeah.
That he borrowed from his modeling gig.
He voted for the Don't Be Gay Act. Don't do it.
Yeah.
I am very confident in my manliness in my pink shorts.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't this, talk about, and once again, Charlie, talk about the Republican Party being out of step with people. In most polls I've seen, anywhere from 70 to 80% of the American public wants Don't Ask, Don't Tell overturned. And
what
if you see
know?
One after another Republican railing against it on the House floor, you know, it's a social experiment, blah, blah, blah. What's his name? Representative Todd Akin. So are we going to then protect and condone homosexuality in the military? Is this the sort of thing George Washington or our founders would be proud of, what we're doing today in this quick flash before Memorial Day? George Washington wore a wig and a dress, for God's sake.
Well, he didn't wear a dress. He wore a Mason's apron, but okay. But in the meantime, he was trying to keep body and soul together against the biggest, the greatest army in the world, with half his army with typhus and the other half starving to death. He didn't give a damn whether any of those are gay. He was looking for anybody who could pick up a rifle.
Anyone breathing would be good.
Yeah. Barry Goldwater probably stole that line from him. You don't have to be straight. You just have to shoot straight. Can you load a musket? Go!
Barry became quite a quipster in his old age. You know?
Yes, he did.
I mean, you do have to give him credit. I really do think you have to give him credit. He saw this gnawing off your own foot thing coming 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And nobody listened to him.
Yep.
I mean, and that was the smartest thing he ever did, besides his taste in vice presidential nominees, of course.
Yeah, well, it's not good. I've found it, because, you know, I'm a good 5 to 10 minutes ahead of my time, too. Charlie, it's not good to be ahead of your time. It's also being known as a loser. It's always good to be on time, is what I found.
Stephanie's father a compliment, and Stephanie didn't even notice?
I know. Glossed right over that.
What did you say?
I said that outside of his obviously superior choice in vice presidential nominees, that was one of the most far-sighted things he ever did.
I'm sorry. I did totally miss
because
that.
I remember your dad's American Express commercial.
Wow.
Which made him a star.
That's right.
He always did recommend doing the commercial first and then running for vice president. That might have worked out better. Charlie Pierce from the Boston Globe, author of Idiot America, out in paperback. We love you. See you
Great
next Tuesday.
Great to talk to you all. See you next week.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye.
Yay.
Oh, I said the thing that sounds dirty again.
See you next Tuesday. Oops, there I went again. Works for Thursday, too, but, well.
Yeah, all right, whatever. All right, 46 minutes after the hour, back with the latest on the oil spill, or the unmitigated disaster, as we've so deemed it, as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's life-altering, it's soul-changing, it's the summit of all human desire.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Are you still sweaty in your hoo?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-oh.
I am. Oh, yeah, it is broadcast news in here this morning. It is humid in New York. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it.
No, it's humid.
Oh,
humid. Humid.
Humid.
Hugely humid.
It's hugely humid. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, we killed the number 3 Al-Qaeda guy.
Yeah, we did.
Not that number 2 guy. That guy we've killed 17 times.
We ran out of number 2 guys. We're finally on number 3.
Okay. Working our way down.
No, you know what it is, Jim? No one would take the number 2 job anymore because, you know, that's like being the drummer in Spinal Tap. It's like, I'll be the number 3 guy,
still
not number 2.
It still begs the question, why haven't we captured or killed number 1?
Because I think he's already dead.
Well,
yes,
it would be nice if we could capture him, though.
Can we get dry ice? Can we get enough dry ice? Can we not get pikes? What's the deal?
Yeah.
1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Roz in Atlanta, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Oh, goodness. I wonder if the right wing has thought about it. If they managed to get rid of Obama and Biden at the same time, Nancy Pelosi would be the president.
Yeah, they've got no good options at this point.
You're talking about impeachment, not about other ways.
I wouldn't put anything past them.
Yeah, all right. Steve in Kansas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Steve.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Good. Well, I work in radio, and our station used to carry Glenn Beck. We carried him for about a year from late 05 to 06. And I was going to relay an interesting story kind of why we quit carrying the show. Back in those days, he had to have as a guest quite frequently this gentleman who was he claimed was born a Muslim and converted to Christianity. So he had quite a bit of knowledge of both the Quran and the Christian Bible. and they had done some cross research. And according to those two guys, they came up that the world was going to, or the Battle of Armageddon was going to take place in mid-August. I think it was August 12th of 06, because this is when Israel and Iran were going to go hammering tongs at each other, and Russia was going to come in, and it all had to do with what was in the Book of Revelations and certain passages in the Quran. And, well, they missed, obviously. And then a couple of days later, they amended the date that they had misinterpreted what they had read, and it was going to happen on September 22nd of 06. And they missed again. And we had such an outcry here, and I live in a very conservative area. I mean, we're 10 minutes from Oklahoma, 10 minutes from Missouri type of place. And so we're right in the heart of the Redlands, if you will. And there was such an outcry there that people were saying that he was blaspheming on the air, and that we had to cancel the show, and I thought it was kind of poetic justice.
Yeah, all right, honey. Thank you. Sorry, Chris, what?
No, that was that's interesting.
Yeah, indeed it is. A little history of Glenn Beck's radio career. Stephanie in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, guys. You know, I know Americans have appeared dumb in the past, you know, the 9/11 stars in their eyes, but things have changed. I think it's BP can't speak without rhyme. They need, you need to play the little clip. They need to shut the beep up, because what a bunch of jerks.
Well, they're criminals. I mean,
yeah, it's a little beyond jerks at this point. Yeah.
Well, I know. And I,
she's keeping it clean for the radio.
Yeah, I know, totally. But I'm so heartbroken. It's between me being just
Douche. I know. Even douche nozzle and ass hat, the preferred terms of the Stephanie Miller Show, fall short here, don't you think?
It's totally. They really do. I just feel so bad. I mean, everything is suffering. I mean, it's just our whole way of life. This is a national disaster, but it affects the world. So
yep, absolutely. Thank you, Steph. I hear you. By the by, we keep talking about people using the word, this is an unprecedented and just an unforeseen disaster. No, it is neither. Breaking news that Julie sent me. This is from last week. Even I mean, it just gets worse. You started with the 60 Minutes report. Anyway, Julie writes, these BP people are corporate villains right out of central casting. In last week's New York Times, we learned BP used a riskier, cheap-ass seal thingy that caused gas leaks, which is what probably caused the explosion. Plus, the reason they were in such a giant hurry to seal things up is they planned to move the high-rent rig to another site by March 8th, and by April 20, the delay had cost them $21 million. Mm-hmm. Fining and suing and stoning won't even do for such bastard people. It's seriously time to go medieval on their ass. I suggest we bring back the head on pikes drawing and quartering or whatever thing they did to Mel Gibson's entrails for the last 20 minutes of Braveheart. That's just a Julian Sands suggestion. You don't know it.
I never saw Braveheart.
And why are we entrusting them with the cleanup?
trying to stop it, I guess. This is from the New York Times last week. Several days before the explosion on the Deepwater Horizon oil rig, BP officials chose, partly for financial reasons, to use a type of casing for the well that the company knew was the riskier of two options, according to a BP document. I think that's what Mike Papantonio was telling us last week, that he's seen some incriminating documents in his career as a lawyer, but nothing compared to this, you know?
Yeah. So when are people going to be arrested?
Well, I mean, that's what we were talking about earlier, Jim, is that, I'm neither a legal nor a scientific expert here. But, obviously people are starting to talk about a lot of things, whether it's nationalizing it, whether he can. The president has authority to do a lot of things. He can buy BP and, I don't know what they were saying, like have the parent company pay us back for it.
And something else we should have had is an independent monitoring of what's going on and not allowing BP to control the media. I mean, what happened? They were showing this the mud coming out. Suddenly, they stopped showing the live feed and had it running forwards and backwards. So clearly, they had it on a delay.
Do we know that for a fact?
Well, I saw it on Rachel Maddow. I was watching it, there was no longer the live feed that they were watching. Mm-hmm. Not at all. If it was a technical problem, or they were just something was going on. They didn't want people to see.
Right. But we were saying, if you go back, Jim, I mean, can you imagine how the right wing would have been screaming If you know, the president had taken over, I mean, bought BP. Oh, see, he's a socialist. He just wants to own the oil companies and banks, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, but they say that anyway. But I'm not even talking about that. I'm just having, like, the Navy independently monitor what's going on with their own submersibles. Right. And so we get, you know.
I think we need to do what General Powell said over the weekend. We need to get the military in there to direct people, you know, the companies on what to do.
Yes.
Yes, our government doesn't have the equipment. BP does. But the military has the manpower and the organizational know-how to get things done efficiently.
And we would not have sent people out without protective gear, knowing that there was benzene in the air making people sick.
We will. Well, we're going to talk to General Russell Honoré, who is a CNN contributor and obviously was brought in to finally get the Hurricane Katrina response right.
Right.
And Rude Pundit next as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere, stephaniemiller.com. Check it out. Go to the calendar section. Bill Press and I will be coming to Asheville, North Carolina this weekend. Mm-hmm. We will see you Saturday in Asheville, North Carolina. Go to the calendar section for details. You can email us all there as well. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller, like Julie in Seattle does with a subject line, in case you and Hal finally did it.
No.
No.
He doesn't do it with drunk girls.
Yeah, so that lets me out right away. He's perfect for me because he doesn't drink, so he could be like a lifetime designated driver. Hello. He picked me up and dropped me off after the party, and he dances like a Rock'em Sock'em robot, which is the cutest thing I have ever seen.
You need to get video of that.
Well, maybe he was actually... I had to keep pushing his head down. Yeah.
Hmm? Beg your pardon? What? To do what?
Yeah. About pushing his
because it popped up like a Rock'em Sock'em robot.
Maybe I see what you're saying.
Yes, not, yeah. Okay.
Maybe he was starting a rumble and it just looked like he was dancing.
No, it's cute, whatever it is. It's the cutest little straight guy dance I ever saw. He only moves the upper half of his body. It's hilarious. All right. Anyway, Julie says, good morning, Steph. I thought this Washington Post recap of the Sunday news show banquet of bad, terrible, horrible, and really bad news about the bastard people oil spill mess might come in handy in the event you got so drunk at Melissa Etheridge's birthday party that the steely spinster inhibitions and broken dream calluses around your fluttering heart finally fell away and that strange, sexless, irritating part-time marriage you have with your consort hipster Hal Sparks was consummated at long last. Now, let me clarify. There is sex. He just has sex with other women.
Lots
not
of
sexless.
Other women.
Yes, it's not sexless. He always, the date ends and then he goes out with other women. Yes, consummated in hours upon hours of urgent, sweaty, P90X powered, oh sweet mystery of life, I found you sex that went on and on, over and over, only ending 50 minutes ago when you crawled out of bed, readjusted your artificial hip, and headed for the studio to do your show. Or more likely, only you got drunk because of Hal's prudish views on intoxicants and ended up too hungover to deal with this tragic that's going on. Here's the skinny on the incredibly depressing admission by BP and the Obama administration. The oil is going to flow unabated till August or September till the relief wells get finished. While in the meantime, BP will stage more ridiculous Wile E. Coyote inspired Acme-branded schemes involving birdseed, duct tape, painting fake tunnels, etc. to supposedly staunch what one expert dude below describes as 6 or 7 fire hoses blasting oil and gas from the unseen depths of hell.
Yep. Could go on for years. Maybe decades.
That was, by the way, that was actual audio of one of the scientists that's down there.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it?
Sounds a little like Sam Kinison.
It's weird. Mm. Well, underwater, that happens.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
At least the Obama people made them drill 2 relief wells. P.S. This is all so depressing. I think I'm going to start using drugs again. Admittedly, it's only been a few hours since I stopped using drugs. But dealing in Seattle, not dealing well with the oil spill. All right. I know it's Tuesday, but it was a holiday week, so that means it's time for the news.
Leap off at the Rude Pundit. Pundit.
Woo! Good morning. Time to come to Papa. Good morning, your rudeness.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Oh,
it's
what
it's so weird to have you on a Tuesday.
Yeah, and so late in the show, too.
It's weird to be had on a Tuesday. Why?
Yeah. Mm. You know what? It's good for a relationship to change it up.
Except a little bridey. Changing it up.
Yeah.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Different position.
Rude. Yes, he's in a different position in the show.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right. Rude, what? I don't even know what more can be said about this. It is deep impact meets perfect storm, isn't it? I guess hurricane season starts today.
Oh, yeah.
This next thing that will fail and could make it worse starts tomorrow.
Yeah. So, but aren't those buzzsaws on the robots cool? You know what would be even better? You know what? Just say screw it and have the robots start fighting each other. They've got the cameras. They've got the robots. They've got the saws. That's a show.
Yeah, we might as well laugh or we'll just cry all day. You're actually from Louisiana, of course. So this is... I mean, I don't... You know, we've all been saying, I don't know, you know, scientifically or legally, but what do you think he should do now, we should do now?
What should we do now? Well, I think we should get used to shrimp from other countries. I think you can forget about your Gulf Coast oysters, and I hope you enjoyed the pelican while it lasted.
Yeah, yeah.
It's endless, and you know, and Tony Hayward is such a self-pitying little poncy bitch.
Yeah, he wants his life back. That's the main thing here.
I know. And did you hear that he also said that, you know, that the workers that are sick must have food poisoning?
Yeah, yeah, it's probably food poisoning, because that happens. When any large group gets together, there's always food poisoning, Rude. You know that.
I guess BP can't make potato salad either.
Among other things they can't do well. You write this week, the point here is not to defend the Obama administration's response to the Gulf oil catastrophe. The Rude pun is not going to do that, except to say that however you think of it, Obama's miles and miles ahead of what Bush the Smarter did back at the start of his damn presidency. Now, actually, the point here is to say, oh, go yourself with Reagan's femur to craven columnist and creepy commentator Peggy Noonan. I somehow just the visual of that.
Yeah.
Who writes in today's Wall Street Journal, the disaster in the Gulf may well spell the political end of the president and his administration. She compares Obama to Bush the dumber during Katrina.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, and this is something that the right wing is starting to harp on, that this is going to be the end of the the Obama presidency, and it's ludicrous because, well, first of all, you know, the Exxon Valdez isn't what did in the Bush presidency, and Bush one never even went to Alaska, and now we're complaining because Obama's only been there twice, and I don't want to be in the position of defending the Obama administration on this because, as you know, I'm in the camp that, you know, they've screwed it up pretty bad. But it's certainly much more it's a much better a response than Bush during the Exxon Valdez. I mean, the engagement level is enormously ahead of what it was then.
Well, Rude, I will, as you know, I don't mind. I'm being called an Obama apologist almost every day, but I don't feel the need to apologize for him. And you and I may disagree on that. That I just, you know, seriously, I think what I have to ask most people at least, what would you have done? If you were here, I mean, here you have a company that is not only responsible for this mess, the only ones with the expertise and the equipment to immediately deal with it.
Well,
do you know what I mean? It's like now I agree with you. You know, we've got to friggin' figure something else out at this point. But I mean, I don't agree that he's bungled the response.
I think what he's bungled, and I think we talked about this some last week, is he's bungled the appearance of the response. And that sounds callow but it is simply the way that politics exists. If he seemed like he had, I mean, David Gergen had this great list of suggestions for him, you know, to set up a command center and appoint people that are like, you know, leak stoppage czars or something like that, and get BP out of there. And make it, I mean, use, and the way he put it was just send them the bill and use their equipment if you need to, but get them out of the picture.
And start a criminal investigation, which hasn't happened yet.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, no, I do agree that it's like leaving the criminals in charge of the crime scene at this point.
Yeah. And you know, Tony Hayward out there all the time assuring us in that soothing, want to strangle him, Hugh Grant voice of his.
Yeah.
And then turning out to be just a complete friggin' liar about it is damaging. It's damaging because it looks like he's substituting for the White House's voice out there. There should be some very public
figure. Let me pull a figure out of my arse. Oh, here's this 70%. There's a 70% chance this time it'll work.
Yes, yes, yes. And and now I'm going to cradle this dolphin while I cover its blowhole so it dies quietly.
Put a pillow over this dolphin. Yeah, I know. It's,
there was no oil spill. It was a spill of bad potato salad.
Yes.
That's why it's a potato salad slick.
That's right. That's, yeah.
Really, I mean, I know. That's the thing. It is such a fine line between funny and sad on this one. That it's just like, oh, man. Now you've gotten your weekly what do you call it? You're a loyal member of the Super Duper Prayer Team for the Family Research Council, so you get their weekly missives.
I do.
And this week's is essentially says, "Pray that gay rapists don't infiltrate khaki ass."
Yeah.
Tell us about that, won't you?
Well, you see,
on Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Yeah, the Family Research Council has decided that that there's a good chance that if there's more open gay people or open gay people in the military, they will just spend their time raping straight ass. They even did a study. They did a study about this. They did research to show that there are in fact homosexual men who will rape men, which was stunning to me because I certainly didn't think that there were any rapists in the gay community. We all just think they're kind and nice and gentle. And now they're calling the possibility of Don't Ask, Don't Tell even being conditionally repealed their Gettysburg moment for the soul of the nation.
Ah.
No.
And you say that each Wednesday a letter arrives from them that says more or less, hey, Jesus didn't shave his for nothing, get busy.
Yeah.
Which I'm not sure that says that literally, but...
No, but it says you got to get on your knees with Jesus in front of you. So what else are you going to do while you're down there?
So, yeah, I mean, it really, the Republican Party, as I was saying, once again, so out of step, you know, like I was saying, depending on the poll, 70-80% of the American people, including Republicans, think that Don't Ask, Don't Tell should be repealed. And there they are, like one after another on the House floor, right, you know, talking about the, you know, the horrors of overturning this, right?
Yeah, it really
Representative Louie Gohmert, Republican of Texas, if someone has to be overt about their sexuality, whether it's a bunker or whether confined under fire, then it's a problem. How do you be overt about... It's like, what, the straight guys are going, I'm being straight over here while I'm shooting. Look, I'm...
Hey, you know what? Back in World War II, would you have wanted, like, them to paint pictures of, you know, Rod Taylor or Rock Hudson on their planes when they were flying?
I mean, it really, at this point, you're just going, what? And the other thing is they mischaracterized. It isn't effective immediately, unfortunately, in my opinion, but you know what I'm saying? They took you misrepresenting it as an immediate repeal that doesn't allow the Defense Department to complete its study. Well, that's not the case.
Well, but that's the drama queen nature of the right, isn't it? That the health care bill that's a mild reform is a complete government takeover of, you know, your grandma's IV, and now this is, you know, it's automatically going to be disco night in the barracks every night.
Glow sticks for everybody.
With Rock Hudson posters up everywhere, of course.
Yeah.
All right. Lee Papa, his rudeness, we will see him on his regular day. Everything will be right with the world when he's back in his regular day and time next week on Monday. Thank you, your rudeness.
See you later, Stephanie.
There he goes. Rudepundit.blogspot.com.
Yes.
18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
That's the smartest thing I've ever heard anyone say about anything.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show.
You okay?
Mm-hmm. Sorry. Yeah. Just, I had a little Louis Armstrong in my...
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, but I'm fine now. Buddy in Columbus.
Hello, buddy.
Hello, buddy.
Hello, buddy. Buddy.
That's enough.
Okay, thanks. Buddy!
Hey, Mama. Hey, one thing is, the story about food poisoning is just so over the top. You know, food poisoning, that's diarrhea and vomiting. It's not bloody noses and your lungs filling up with fluid.
Yeah, he's becoming an evil character in some sort of wacky British comedy at this point. It's like you've got to be kidding me.
They had some bad shepherd's pie. That's what it was.
That's Mama, but in breaking news, everything's taken care of because BP has just hired Dick Cheney's former spokesperson.
Oh, good.
To take over and manage their PR campaign. You know, the woman who took care of the face shooting and the energy task force?
Oh, the face shooting while you were drunk and then slept it off overnight and talked to the police the next day woman?
Yeah,
that woman.
The woman who handled that is now in charge of BP's PR. So, hey, as the oil washes up on the coast of France, and it will, things are all taken care of.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Charles in L.A., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on the oil spill, too. Hi, Charles.
Oh, boy. Well, we can ask that woman why Dick Cheney got rid of the acoustic shutoff system there, the backup system that would have prevented this spill.
Yeah, while we're at it, we can talk to him about his energy meetings and his oil
there.
Regulations and, yeah.
Yeah.
In addition to the drunken face shooting. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I got a possible solution, a better idea than cutting off this riser. If they cut off that riser, you're going to have more oil gushing out of there.
Yeah, that, even just to a layperson, that doesn't sound good, does it? How about we cut it off and make it gush more, and then we'll put that domey thing that didn't work last time on there?
That's right.
Except this time we're going to shoot hot ocean water in it, and that'll...
Yeah, there's no guarantee that domey thing's going to work.
That domey thing.
Here's what
it's a domey
work.
Thing.
That container structure, the big one that they used before. What they should do is connect that, get a flow of water going through there. You know, set up maybe 100 yards away from the actual spill. Get that flow of water. Then you slowly bring it over the spill, and then you keep the flow going, and it should come right up without clogging up.
All right, then. A nation of Schneiders.
All right.
I told him in the first place they need a different sealy thing on there, and then, you know, the domey thing, I could have told him. I used to make slurpees when I was in college, and so I knew... It's going to slush up and freeze up in there, and I told him you got to shoot some hot ocean water in that.
You won't get a real old brain freeze, which you don't want.
The sad thing is, I made...
Exactly. The Top Kill got brain freeze. That's what happened.
I made Slurpee-like drinks in college.
I worked at a frozen yogurt place for a day.
Did you?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Until I found out, right after college, I worked at a frozen yogurt place in Studio City until I found out that you had to take the entire yogurt machine apart piece by piece and wash every piece separately and then put it back together.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got it done with work at like 4 a.m. I was like, okay, thanks for this. Bye-bye. I'm going to skedaddle now onto my next job, serving cocktails up at Fung Lum in my polyester kimono. What a loser. My life hasn't gotten any better. Okay, Michael in California, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Listen, I love your show. I love the MOOCs. Love everything about you guys. But every now and then, I think you need some constructive criticism.
Uh-oh.
Oh, boy.
Okay. You know, what I do sometimes is I listen to Hannity and the other idiots on the right-wing networks just to confirm that they're completely off base. And so I think and I know that some of them listen to your show to confirm their view that you're off base. And I was listening, as I always do this morning, and I heard some joke about Jesus and oral sex. And, hey, I'm an agnostic liberal, I put up with a lot. But it just seemed to me that kind of stuff may alienate people. We're trying
Well, that's why they call him the rude pundit, you see, because that's the sort of – it's like when Bill Maher got fired for being politically incorrect on his last show. He's like, yeah, who could have seen that coming? So when the guy is called the rude pundit is all I'm saying. I get your point. But that's his point, is he's a little over the top. Trust me, we don't go anywhere near the worst stuff in his column.
People aren't used to him on this day and at this time, so maybe he had some new listeners today that there was a little bit of shock value there.
Well, Chris, you can confirm this for me, that I don't go anywhere near the funniest, dirtiest stuff in his columns.
Yes, at rootpundit.blogspot.com.
Yes, that's the point of him, is he's outrageously over the top.
And that's what makes it funny.
Yes, he is. Then that's why we warn you by saying it's time for the rude pundit.
It's not the polite pundit.
No, exactly. Otherwise, or he'd be called a polite pundit. There you go.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. All right. I don't think they run him next to Miss Manners in any publications that I know of.
No, they don't.
All right. 29 minutes after the hour. Oh, we are very pleased. General Russell Honoré, CNN correspondent. He, of course, is credited with fixing the Hurricane Katrina response once he took over. So he will have a lot to say, and we can't wait to hear it next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Excuse me, you're misusing the word ho. It's an interjection used to call attention to...
Stephanie Miller.
Oh, boy. I'm booking my own show these days. Tom Hartman just walked in. He's booked live in studio here in New York tomorrow, kids. Tune in for that. He literally has his arm in a sling. This is kind of hilarious. I'm like, what happened? And Louise, his wife, said he has a repetitive stress injury from too much writing.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Did I tell him he writes too many books? I tell him that all the time. He just wrote another one right when we were talking.
Mm-hmm. You know, he's also booked for tomorrow.
Who?
Joan Rivers.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, it's awesome. Great. All right. What a week we have.
I know, right?
Okay. Who is she wearing? Has she told us yet?
Not
yet. It's radio. We don't care.
No.
Okay. Also tomorrow, Dr. Sanjay Gupta, yes?
Actually, he had to cancel.
Oh, all right. Well,
so
we will reschedule him. Hump Days with Hal tomorrow, a big, big show.
And Carl Frisch.
What?
And Carl Frisch.
All right. And we are thrilled and honored right now to have CNN contributor General Russell Honoré, who, as you recall, really put things right with the Hurricane Katrina response. Good morning, General.
Good morning, Stephanie. How are you?
Good morning, sir. I am fine. You are down in New Orleans as we speak, right?
Yes, ma'am.
General, you know, you are, as you know, one of the only people that we learned to trust after Hurricane Katrina. You're obviously credited with restoring order there. Please tell us what is happening, because this just seems like an unmitigated disaster to us in the Gulf. What is happening now, and what is your take on everything?
Well, I think this BP oil spill, that's what we need to refer to it as. They have committed something that could be akin to a crime, because they put in this apparatus that didn't work. It wasn't fail-safe. They had no backup plan. And now, as you can see, they had no plan to be able to turn the oil off if something went wrong. I mean, and 11 people lost their lives. And the oil is still going into the Gulf. You know, if we cut the oil off today, Stephanie, we would have a problem that we've never been faced with before. But as saying that, the oil is not turned off. We're in the middle of hurricane season is starting. It is a disaster of national proportion.
General, you've obviously heard all of the discussion that, you know, I certainly understood the administration in the beginning saying, look, this is the only people that immediately have the expertise and the equipment to try to do this. But I think the point you raise is valid, that at this point it seems to me like we're really talking about criminal behavior. And we I don't know what what is your opinion on what we should do? I mean, what do we do at this point? Nationalize it? Fire BP? Buy them? Take it over? I mean, this is just like you say. And one thing after another they've said has turned out to be untrue. How can we trust them?
Well, you raise a point that's on the mind of a lot of people who are facing, smelling, and touching this oil down here. Can the company be trusted? I think it is in their domain to continue to work to turn that oil off. But I think the federal government needs to start telling them to use alternative means to get that oil out of the water. You know, the former president of Shell Oil Company came out over the weekend with a very competent used system before where they bring in super tankers, and he claimed BP hasn't done that because it's more expensive than diluting your oil with those chemicals in the skimming. But we've got to get that oil out of the Gulf, and they need to be directed by the federal government. You know, right now on the ground, if a parish in South Louisiana want to do something, they put in a request, it goes to the Coast Guard, then PP has to approve it, whether they're going to pay for that defensive measure or not. You know, it's like being mugged by a criminal, then the criminal will determine if you get hospital care. That's crazy. The government's going to have to take over the defense of the oil along the coastline and start being more directive with BP.
General Honoré, I don't know the answer to this legally. Can the president order BP to bring in tankers? I mean, where are we at legally?
Doesn't have to be BP. It could be another
right order. Or whoever. Can't the president order that?
Hey, look, Stephanie, BP got boats. We got boats with guns on them. We could tell them. We got an attorney general. We could seize all their assets. We got to start using the power. We got to bring out the big stick and start beating on these guys until they start doing what's required to keep that oil and to get that oil out of the Gulf.
General Honore, this thing they're trying tomorrow, this cut and cap, I'm just a layperson, but that sure doesn't sound like to me it's going to work, and it may make it worse like the Top Kill did. What is your take on it?
Well, like you, I know nothing about that trade space, dealing with oil and how you deal with it at 5,000 feet. I'm just praying that it works. But and I'm getting mixed messages from experts who tell me this may make the matters worse if it doesn't make it better. So I'll defer to the engineers on that question, Stephanie. But I know one thing. They need to have a better way of catching that oil as it come out of that hole. And competent people have said there's a better way to collect that oil than the way they're going about it.
Yeah. Well, if you were president today, what would you do, General?
Well, I would certainly go ahead on and pursue what this former president of Shell has suggested and tell them to get the super tankers in there to start pulling that oil out, then put more effort in protecting the coastline. Right now, they've got minimum approval for the state of Louisiana to put barriers in. I mean, this is ridiculous. And then who's going to pay for it? BP's going to pay for it, and they should pay for it. So you got governors now being made subordinate to a BP executive because we have said BP is going to pay for it. The federal government ought to pay for it, then bill BP. As I said, we can seize the asset. We ought to be charging them $100 million a day for every day oil come out of that well because they did not follow the rules. They broke the laws.
General, is a criminal investigation underway yet, or is it too soon for that, in your opinion?
Oh, it's not too soon. And, I mean, by their own admission, they broke a lot of rules.
Well, I mean, I understand. Right, I mean, I understand we've got to stop this is job one and, you know, and clean up and all that. But I do think, as you say, I mean, at this point, it seems like we're putting the criminals in charge of the crime scene investigation.
You got it. And, oh, by the way, Stephanie, the laws that we went into this with was from Exxon Valdez.
Right.
Those laws are not stringent enough to handle a spill dealing from a well that broke 5,000 feet below the ocean. So we've got to create a new law that make these type of events punitive, which means people can go to jail. We don't have the laws right now that can make that happen. And Congress needs to pass that.
General, in your opinion, should we ever be allowing underwater drilling after this?
I think absolutely we should, but we have to have the same assurance that we do with nuclear power, the same assurance that we have when you get on an airplane that the engine's been inspected and the pilot is trained. You know what I'm talking about. Unless we can come up with a new solution for oil, we're going to have to continue to drill under the ocean.
Right, but it seems to me that, you know, it's really proven that everything they have said is untrue, including what they said to Congress when they were getting these permits, that they could do it safely, that they knew what to do in case there was a spill, and it clearly was all, there were all lies. I mean, clearly don't have the technology to deal with this currently, do we?
That's right, but I mean, it's an opportunity to create some new science, and that's the kind of things we need to do so we can be safe. You know, there are thousands of other wells out there in the ocean around the world that this same thing could happen to. So we got to make sure we've got the science. We got to make sure the government can independently go in and inspect. You know, when you drive up to the BP well, you're asking them to use their equipment to inspect them. Why doesn't the government have, I mean, BP and the oil companies ought to pay this in a fund so the government have independent way of checking what they're doing as opposed to looking at their records using their machines.
General Honore, you obviously, you know, again, as I mentioned, credited with restoring order, which finally sort of getting the Hurricane Katrina response right. You, of all people, I'd love to know about, you know, what you feel about the analogies people are trying to make between this is Obama's Katrina.
You know, this is a disaster. Each one of them is different. And
yeah,
the president need to be decisive. And, oh, by the way, the people on the ground got to agree that things are being done. You can say you're in charge all you want, but if the people on the ground don't trust BP because they are the they have the checkbook, and the people don't trust BP, that's why the government needs to take this over and deal with the people as opposed to having BP determine what American citizens are going to get in terms of benefits.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's gone from, you know, sublime to ridiculous to whatever you want to call it. I mean, you have, you know, Tony Hayward saying that, you know, oh, we know people are getting sick, but it might be food poisoning, not the oil. I mean, it just, it's become, you know, patently ridiculous, hasn't it?
Well, you're right. I mean, that's why we need to pass a law immediately that makes these kind of incidents of punitive. If he had any idea that there was a threat for him to go to jail, he wouldn't be strutting around like some king here in the United States proclaiming like he's in charge of the Gulf Coast.
Yeah, he says he would like his life back. Did you hear that in this press conference?
Yeah, right. As he makes $69 million a day.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, exactly. General Honoré, you are down there. You're just going to continue to oversee things. But, I mean, are we going to know something tomorrow? Is this next thing going ahead tomorrow as far as you know?
Just for the record, Stephanie, I'm an observer in this thing, and I'm doing some volunteer work. But that's about it, and I'm contributing to CNN. So we will wait to see what happens tomorrow. Hopefully it'll be successful. We all prayed. I mean, there were a lot of disappointed people here on a Saturday when the word came that the top kill didn't work. I mean, people were praying like they were praying for the Who Dat Nation to win the Super Bowl. I mean, hopefully we're into this. And were equally discouraged when the word came back. I mean, the folks down there are wondering now what happens when the hurricane comes and this thing push a black wave into their coastline and into their homes. Who's going to pay? There are already discussions that the insurance company said, if you get oil in your house, we ain't paying. It's BP, and BP is pushing back, saying we ain't paying. That's why the federal government's got to get in the middle of this, and we've got to get that oil out of the ocean, and then we've got to figure out barriers we can put up that can prevent it from getting into the estuaries.
Yep, I'm with you. General Russell Honoré, CNN contributor, GeneralHonoré.com. Such an honor to have you, sir, and thanks so much for taking time for us.
Bless you. Let's pray that this thing works tomorrow.
Absolutely.
I'm not sure what good an ex-Catholic girl will do, but I'll give it my best shot.
Come on, get on with it. Get down on your knees. We need every help we can get. Divine intervention does work.
All right.
Who Dat Nation.
There you go.
Go Who Dat Nation. All right. Thank you, General. There he goes. General Russell Honoré of the CNN.
Okay. That man is a national treasure.
He absolutely is.
He's,
listen, could I spend any more time on my knees between crawling back and forth between New York and L.A.?
And he told you to get on your knees without a sense of irony. So that's...
Yeah. There's something to be said for that right there.
Who Dat Nation. Whoop. All right. 46 or Woot, more importantly. 46 minutes.
They said that.
Oh, really? 46 minutes after the hour. I shouldn't speak Cajun again. I apologize. My bad. All right. Back with the latest on the oil spill. Don't ask, don't tell, and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
You people make me sick.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Miller Show. 51 minutes after the hour, the president speaking live about the oil spill. Let's see what he says.
Isn't just the source of income, but a way of life. Not just fishable waters, but a national treasure. There are now more than 20,000 men and women in the region working around the clock to contain and clean up the oil. We've authorized more than 17,000 National Guard members to respond across four states. More than 1,700 vessels are currently aiding in the response and will ensure that any and all responsible means of containing this leak are pursued as we await the completion of the two relief wells. I've also directed Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano and Admiral Thad Allen, who is the National Incident Commander, to triple the manpower in those places where oil has hit shore or is within 24 hours of impact. The economic response continues as well. We've ordered BP to pay economic injury claims, and we will make sure they deliver. The Small Business Administration has stepped in to help businesses by approving loans and allowing deferrals of existing loan payments. We've stationed doctors and scientists across the region to look out for people's health and monitor any ill effects felt by cleanup workers and residents. and we will absolutely continue to hold BP and any other responsible parties accountable for financial losses borne by the people in the region.
How about leg irons?
But our responsibility doesn't end there.
I would help.
We have an obligation to investigate what went wrong and to determine what reforms are needed so that we never have to experience a crisis like this again.
How about no drilling?
If the laws on our books are insufficient to prevent such a spill, the laws must change. If oversight was inadequate to enforce these laws, oversight has to be reformed.
Just think.
If our laws were broken, leading to this death and destruction, my solemn pledge is that we will bring those responsible to justice on behalf of the victims of this catastrophe and the people of the Gulf region. When Interior Secretary Ken Salazar took office, for example, he found a Minerals and Management Services agency that had been plagued by corruption for years. Corruption that was underscored by a recent Inspector General's report that uncovered appalling activity that took place before last year.
True debt.
Secretary Salazar immediately took steps to clean up that corruption, but this oil spill has made clear that more reforms are needed. For years, there's been a far too cozy relationship between oil companies and the agencies that regulate them. That's why we've decided to separate the people who permit offshore leases, who collect revenues, and who regulate the safety of drilling.
All right. Pat in Tucson has the same question we have. One of the things General Honore just said. Hey, Pat.
Hey, Steph, you know, speaking of what he's saying right now, everybody knew what was going on at the Department of the Interior with Jack Abramoff, Gail Norton, and all their underlings. The total corruption, they did nothing for a year. Now, I want to know why the president, like the general says, why hasn't he ordered these super tankers out there? People have been saying this for 5 weeks now.
Yep, I'd like to know that, too. That was one of the things he said, right, Jim, that I thought was really interesting that, you know, that we've heard before. And, again, I don't know the answer to every question, but why isn't he ordering super tankers in? I mean, I don't, you know.
Well, we've got one listener who gave us a math lesson talking about vectors and cosine, secant,
I'm sure
cosine,
it's
whatever.
Way over.
It's turned into the airplane movie. What's the vector, Victor?
But
Roger, Roger.
But apparently, maybe he was talking out of his ass, but you know, I've heard other people talking about this, too. So it's
Right. Yeah, exactly. All right.
Unfortunately, most of this is so far above our pay grade.
Exactly. That's what I mean. At least we admit we're talking out our ass.
Why did they allow them to use those dispersants, knowing full well that they were highly toxic? I mean, that was...
Yeah,
that
I mean, exactly. Obviously, eventually we'll get answers to all these questions. But yes, why not tankers instead of dispersant? I don't know.
Well, I know, because they wanted to cover up the extent of the spill. Right. Because they know they're going to lose more money based on the amount of oil. That's been the whole thing all
along. Dispersants are supposed to, though, hit it, supposed to stop it from immediately hitting shore, I think is the point of them. I think we asked some expert this week, right? I can't remember last week.
Yeah, the other point is... Dave Mattingly from CNN. And, you know, that does make sense. However, the oil goes to
disappear.
Yeah, the oil goes to the bottom of the ocean where, you know, shrimp feed on it and get killed and dolphins swim through it.
Or bad potato salad from the BP picnic. Okay. The chairman of the Joint Chiefs yesterday said he would have preferred Congress had waited before voting to repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Mullen favors lifting the ban. He said we will complete the review and certainly incorporate what we learned from that into implementation when the time comes. Mm-hmm. A senior defense official on Friday said troops with concerns about the repeal are less willing to speak freely because the vote makes the outcome clear. You know... I'm sorry, but this reminds me of, like, every other civil rights battle. It's like, you know what? No one's ever exactly ready, every person at every time. It's just, I'm sorry. 80% of the American people say this is enough already. You know, you've got to start somewhere. And the thing is, they're not even, it is not going into effect immediately. The Republicans are misrepresenting that. What do you call it? You know what I'm saying? Chris, you know what I'm saying? It's not being implemented immediately. It's still going forward with the, with the review.
The Pentagon review, right.
One thing they should do immediately is make sure that people who've already been kicked out get their pensions.
Exactly.
And it's on the Pentagon's timeline, which is
Republicans took to the floor to rail against the repeal, calling it a social experiment, unpatriotic, an insult to the military.
Whatever.
Blah, blah, blah. Former Bush advisor Matthew Dowd asked, they socialize with kids that are openly gay and all of a sudden they go in the armed services, somebody gives them a rifle and they're not supposed to be around gay people anymore. He said it doesn't make any sense. It's long been decided in the public mind. I think the Republicans are so far out of step about this, about where the country is. Republican office holders are out of step with this. Mm-hmm. George Will said the case is over on Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Jake Tapper said, what's going on Republicans in Congress? Will replied, they're not being very intelligent.
Wow.
CNN poll found 80% support allowing gays to serve openly in the military. 6 in 10 Republicans. That's almost 60%, Jim.
Like they do in
favor allowing open
many
gay
other
people.
Countries with no.
Yeah, but that's French and gay
at all.
The good news is 5 Republicans faced Mike Pence, who said that there would be Republican opposition unified against Don't Ask, Don't Tell. 5 Republicans joined Democrats to vote for the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Ha ha, right-wing tool. All right, that's it for us. Don't forget, big, big show tomorrow. I've forgotten all the names.
Joan Rivers is going to be on.
And
someone else. Tom Hartman.
Tom Hartman. Okay, see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.